You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. It is a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger & Co. Cody is going to get the cocktails ready to go. We are watching the final moments of the 2026 final draw for the World Cup, determining some of the final spots here for the groups. We've been giving you the latest information. Remember, Group D, that is the USA group, currently with Paraguay and Australia. We're waiting to find out who the final country is. We may not know today. We might have to wait for one of the playoffs, and our guests coming up can explain that a little bit more in a bit. We got Rob Britton, Scott Parks, Steven Spector is going to be in studio in just a bit. Some of the biggest soccer fans certainly in the building. This is why you guys are great to have on the show today. Let me just first start with your initial reaction right now to, we'll get to the whole process in a second, but what the U.S. is going to be dealing with in Group D. Scott, we can start with you.
They got a kiss on the
can we go ahead and get the, his, we'll go ahead and get his mic.
Can you hear me
now? Nope. Drew, can we go and get his mic going?
Hi.
There we go. Thank you.
There we go. Sorry about
the United States, barring whoever their turd team is, and I'm not really that worried about it. USA got a huge kiss on the lips today.
Didn't you think that was going to happen?
Probably.
As a host nation, yes.
That's what I mean.
Historically, that's what happens.
I mean, let's be honest. Mexico got a kiss on the lips.
Here we go. Here you go, Parks. Final team, though, is about to come right now on the television screen. So winner of playoff C.
Who would they be?
Who would that be? You guys.
Let's see who the winner of playoff C.
This will be the final team in Group D for the United
States. Turkey, Romania, Slovakia, or Kosovo?
Oh, come on. Give me Kosovo.
Kosovo.
I want Kosovo.
No, it's Ukraine, Sweden, Poland, or Albania. Right?
No, that's
tougher.
That one
or is that
is,
the other one?
That's the other one.
Okay, sorry. All right.
Yeah, so they got Pod C.
All right.
Okay.
All right, I finally made the drink. Sorry, they're like warm drinks. They took me forever.
You're good. We're just talking
about
the
new microwave up here, buddy. You got to use that?
I did get to use the microwave. Today's cocktail, brought to you by Jay Rieger & Company, is... It has hot tea, hot cider, lemon juice, whiskey, and honey simple syrup.
All right, so Scott, you were talking. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, just back to Group D for a second with the USA. Doesn't look like they're going to be playing in Kansas City.
Okay.
Highly unlikely. But some of the teams that we have potentially coming to Kansas City are top-notch, really mm-hmm. good teams with big stars. The USA will not be playing in Kansas City, it doesn't look like. But their group is Australia, no problem. Paraguay, more likely than not, no problem. It's an easy group for the United States.
I like it. That's what we want to see. And I know we can get into how they've expanded the field this year and everything like that. Kansas City, potentially, what, two Group J matches?
Yep.
So Argentina, what, Algeria?
Austria and Algeria.
Yeah. Okay. So what do we make of potential
Jordan
matchups
now, Jordan
and Jordan,
too.
The final
Jordan
country?
Yeah. Well, I would say The big thing I'm cheering for as a Kansas Cityan is we know based on the matches that the winner of Group K is playing their round of 32 match in the Kansas City.
Okay.
So as you look over, and I'm trying to turn the mic.
It's likely to be Portugal.
So we can get a Messi.
Cristiano Ronaldo could be coming to Kansas City, which is obviously in a knockout round match, obviously an enormous moment for the city. You're right, though. From a group stage, we won't know what teams are coming to Kansas City until tomorrow because FIFA absolutely bungles this thing, and that includes
get
me started.
Don't get me started, Parks.
He's gotta go on the air
this too. Is ridiculous.
I could talk till 4 about how awful that was.
We should have seen him downstairs, boys.
Parks, you and I are lockstep on this. At 11 o'clock, we were told, you know, it's going to be, you get ready for it. 30 minutes pass, not a damn thing. They're all just kissing each other's ass for a half hour or so. Then we get to noon, still nothing. This has been the most dragged out process I've ever seen.
And not only that, can I have a complaint about it? Kevin Hart and Heidi Klum were the hosts of the show.
Right.
Heidi Klum was on script. She was good. She's beautiful to look at. Kevin Hart, it's almost as if he rolled up to the Kennedy Center at 10:59, was given a microphone, and maybe put a little bit of face makeup on and did his hair real quick and was just told, go in there and be funny. He wasn't. He was boring. He was off script. He didn't know what he was talking about. It was absolutely the worst production of a sporting event I have ever seen in my entire life.
There were two, not one, two different scripted, like their SNL with the president of FIFA. Get his ass off the TV for stuff like that.
Not only that, but Rio from England.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I don't need them in scripted, like, hey, man, know your spot. Talk about soccer. You want to explain some of that? Great. You're trying to do scripted comedy with McConaughey?
It was bad.
Not the time. By the way, to Drew's point, we now know for sure it is Turkey, Romania, Slovakia, Kosovo. The winner of that playoff will be coming into the United States group. So if you are a United States fan, you are cheering actively against Turkey. Anyone other than Turkey, and you're fine. Because if it's USA,
but Turkey's likely to win, though, right?
They are the okay. If I was on the FanDuel app right now, I would tell you that they're probably the favorite to win that playoff. Gotcha. But I mean,
but they're not going to beat Portugal.
No, they're not. I mean,
okay, I see what you're saying.
So yeah, it's
gotcha.
Turkey, by the way, guys, 25th in FIFA's rankings.
Correct.
I do like that. There's a decent, like, if he commits to play in 2026. There's definitely Messi. A non-zero chance we get Messi and Ronaldo in Kansas City.
I think you're going to get one or the other. Like, if
I mean,
not both.
I mean, that's, I don't know that you can ask much more for that. For the first time hosting World Cup games in your city, the fact that you could have two of the biggest stars on the planet,
and we are also
run through.
I would argue the two biggest stars.
Those are the two names.
Planet.
I would also say it's possible those two we have a good confidence are coming. They're getting a corner final match. So like when you get to the group of the round of eight, the Elite Eight, basically, it's not rum dums and schmucks. You're getting another good team there if you're Kansas City, but. So we'll know all that tomorrow, but it's...
So after tomorrow, we'll know even potential paths for the round of 32.
Right now, right? They just announced the United States' first match will be Paraguay in Los Angeles on the 12th.
Okay.
So these things will slowly be leaking out, but what you're going to have happen behind the scenes is these countries and FIFA and these cities are going to be working in unison to, hey, we want this match on this date at this time in this location, television partners.
Sure.
That's what it's...
The United States will be playing in prime time every match.
Yes, and they're staying on the West Coast, yes.
I don't want to sound like dumb American, didn't watch enough international soccer. I'm sorry, it seems pretty stupid that you don't have all the teams figured out before you announce the field.
This is a product
can
of the...
Get the schedule difference know who the hell's playing?
This is the expanded field.
Before? I understand.
And we can get into that in a second. Mm-hmm. It's not my show. I'm not telling you guys what to talk about.
You guys, this is why we have you.
We watch in for
this reason. This is not unlike what... The NCAA has done with college basketball. 64 was not enough. Let's make it 68. You're trying to get more and more teams involved. The problem is with that, and I think Rob and I are in agreement. We had a conversation before we came in here today about this. I liked it at 32, even though there were going to obviously be teams that don't win a single match, right? There's always going to be that one or two, three teams that don't win a single match in the World Cup.
Sure.
When it was a field of 32. You expand it now to 48, we're looking at 19 potential teams that are going to lose every single game they play.
Hmm.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't have the teams behind me, but like Uzbekistan.
We were looking at
you have a nice moment. You get to make the World Cup, your country, but you're not winning a game.
But that's the thing. It's like, because it's a worldwide thing, including War of the Worlds, not the worst thing, though.
Haiti ought to save the money to help rebuild their country and not even buy airplane tickets to come here.
Yeah, we were looking at the odds.
They're that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kosovo and Iraq and Curacao, Northern Ireland, Haiti, they all have
100,000+ to win the World Cup.
Like, yeah, they're not winning the World Cup.
Curaçao's not going to win a game.
Yeah, they have the worst odds.
If Curaçao has a draw, you will see a party in the streets of the country if they pull a draw against. Oh, can you believe we played to a draw? And, you know, there are. It's like the Olympics. I understand, to Cody's points, the world's game. You want to have, hey, more teams highlighted in celebration. But from a purely competitive standpoint, it does not benefit anyone to move to 48. And it's not even like a true 48. They moved to 48, but because of that, they've added more playoff games. So you have 3 in pot C, 4 in pot D. So like, it's really more like a 60-team tournament that gets whittled to 48. Imagine if the first 4 in Dayton was like a 16-team playoff. I guess you'd be like, what are we doing?
But right. Like, at some point, it's like, for any of these, and I, you know, international soccer works a little bit different. It's far less equitable than even that. Like, but like, for why they expanded the college football playoff, the more teams, at least you get the chance to like be a part of the field. There is something about saying we were a World Cup team and I got to represent my country in the World Cup. In the Olympics, you can qualify for your country, even if maybe you're not the best. Like, you still get a chance.
It's very cool for the players in the country. I'm not diminishing that. But from a competitive viewing standpoint, I'm sorry. I'm not watching, you know, Kosovo take on the – I mean, I'll watch if they play the United States. But when Kosovo takes on Australia, I'm good. I'm not watching that one on TV. I'm not going to that one. I'm past.
And there's a handful of groups that it's just so obvious. For example, am I going to watch Belgium play Iran? Probably not. It'll be a decent team, but Belgium's going to crush them. Spain playing Cabo Verde? I love geography, but I couldn't find Cabo Verde on a map.
Right. And you grew up internationally, you know?
Spain playing Cabo Verde is going to be a game I take off.
Yeah.
I'm not watching that game. It's going to be a bloodbath.
I hope that one's at 2:00. Just I'm busy.
It probably will be. We've got Rob Britton and Scott Parks hanging out with us talking about the World Cup draw, which was just announced minutes ago, at least finalized minutes ago.
I can't believe the Village people are still performing.
The Village people are now performing, which is a...
With one original member left.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
How do you audition to be a fill-in member? Sorry, I got distracted by the Village people part. Go ahead, Gold.
I was looking for, see, they had the groups listed up there because I don't have a notepad in front of me. And I was like, I'm sorry, what's happening?
No, you're good. I was going to say, what do you guys think for U.S. soccer? What is, without knowing the exact matchups yet, what's successful 2026 World Cup here for the United States?
Well, they need to win their group. They were given, as quote Scott, an absolute kiss on the lips.
Yeah,
we were downstairs watching the draw, the three of us, and with Speck, and then Carrington was down there, and we were begging a pot two team that is soft to be in the United States.
That's Australia.
And that's Australia. Now, Australia can make it out of the group stage. They can be second in their group. Mm-hmm. No, but they should be a team the United States wins that game against. Paraguay is the same way. Now, we don't know their fourth team, but if it's not Turkey, Turkey's a little bit of a problem.
Turkey's already been assigned.
Yeah. Turkey's one of the playoff teams in the United States group. It's Turkey, Romania, Slovakia.
Oh, I had them in group K. Sorry. No, you're good. Mistake.
So then but outside of Turkey, every match the United States will play, and we don't know if it will be Turkey because of the weird playoff, is very winnable. So the goal should be to win the group. Not only do you get the host nation kiss, which is that a team like the United States that should not be in pot one was in pot one, but you got a super favorable draw. And it's like the NCAA, it's like the NCAA tournament or one of these big tournaments. If you win your group, now the road becomes a little easier. You're playing a team that came in third in their group in the round of 32, which means you might not have to bump into an Argentina, a Brazil, one of those type of teams until the round of 16, maybe the quarterfinals. So I would have told you before I saw the draw today, the goal is to get out of the group and then win a knockout round match. Now the goal is to win your group, and you should be playing in the Sweet 16. That should be the absolute base minimum.
Now. I feel like knockout is, that doesn't really mean as much as it once did. I mean, avoiding embarrassment is obviously not getting out of if you don't get out of the group, that's just embarrassing for the United States.
100%.
But the knockout has become the new World Cup.
Correct. I agree with that.
Fair enough.
That is, and sadly.
Yeah, 32, that's back to the original.
Sadly,
field.
You only get one chance. You know, once they whittle it down, you've got one chance to get it right. And it depends on who the United States gets paired with. But I'm with Rob. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx them, almost a foregone conclusion that the USA wins Group D. Do they end up in the Sweet 16? I hope so, but hell if I know.
But you would feel like...
Do either of you give them any chance to even to get to a semi-quarter?
I would have to see how things shake out. It's kind of like I always make the comparison to the NCAA tournament. Like right now, basically, the United States for an NCAA tournament comparison is a four seed. And you're like, man, that one seed is going to be a real problem in Sweet 16. But
every once in a while,
you know, Virginia loses to UMBC and suddenly K-State finds themselves making a run. Wichita State one year was undefeated. They lost to Kentucky. Like, it happens, but without knowing those things, I think the lowest hurdle the United States has to clear is the round of 16. And then let's just see what happens from there, but that needs to be the minimum for them.
Every once in a while, you get a Valparaiso.
Sure. Yeah. What group do you view as the toughest, though? We're talking about the United States and Group D. You guys both agree that it's a very favorable draw.
I think we have two.
Okay.
INL?
There are two groups of death. No, not INL. Can I speak for you,
Rob? Yes.
I think we both agreed that Group C and Group L.
Okay, so Group C is Brazil, Morocco, Haiti, and Scotland.
Yeah, three of those are really good countries.
And then you've got Group L. I don't know who their fourth was. I didn't catch it.
Ghana became their fourth.
Croatia, England,
Panama.
See,
that gets even harder for that group.
So
you got England, Croatia, which came in third in the last World Cup. England's always a perennial tough team. But then you've got the team that finished third in the last World Cup, Panama, and then Ghana. Ghana is always what I think Rob and I would call a sneaky team. You don't know what you're going to get when they come on the field. And on any given Sunday, to borrow an old American phrase, they could win. Now, are they going to advance? Probably not.
But can they beat somebody? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I also think, without knowing if, like, maybe not the group of death, but, like, another group that will be fun to watch, like, it's not like, oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen, like Group L is. But I think Group I with France, Senegal, Norway, and then there's a playoff in there. Mm-hmm. But France and Norway.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. You get maybe the best striker in the world in Erling Haaland. You get maybe the best player in the world in Kylian Mbappe. And then Senegal is no pushover. They were in Group B. They carry a lot of Premier League players.
19th in the world.
19th in the world. Nicholas Jackson, Sadio Mane, like that. That is a without knowing the fourth team, because playoffs, that's another group where you're like, I could see some, this one got interesting because Erling Haaland goes crazy and they beat France or something like that happens.
Looking at just some odds, we can get back to Kansas City in a second, but if out of the World Cup field right here, the favorite is Spain at plus 410 to win the World Cup. England sitting there, you just mentioned their group, 5.5-1. France and Mbappe, 7-1. Brazil, 6.5-1. Argentina, 8-1. Those are the five teams or countries with the best odds to win the World Cup. Out of that group, pretend that I gave you $100. Who do you think out of that group would you take, knowing the draw right now, to win the World Cup?
Well, I'm looking at the groups right now. The two teams that I think you mentioned that have the softest groups of that grouping is Argentina, where they play in a group with Algeria, Austria, and Jordan. So
that's a super soft group.
It's a super soft group.
That's Kansas City potentially, right? Yeah, yeah.
Also, Spain, if we're going to name soft groups, Spain has Cabo Verde, which, as Scott pointed out, I don't know where they are either.
I'm looking it up now.
I think they're in the Indian Ocean somewhere, but I don't know.
From the 913, Cabo Verde is a country in Africa, is what they say.
By the way, first photo looks beautiful, Scott. Looks absolutely beautiful.
Lovely.
It looks like your ideal vacation.
Hey, flights are only $2,500 for a 22-hour flight, so not bad.
What does that tell you about the country?
Yeah.
I would also in the Spanish group is Uruguay. Uruguay's good, but also Saudi Arabia. So, like I mentioned, the United States, things break your way when you win your group. Spain and Argentina are two teams that should be winning their group. They then would be on the opposite side of the bracket because they are 1-2 in the world. So I know it's lame to be like, oh, the two betting favorites have the best chance. But there's a reason they're the betting favorites.
How has the U.S. looked? I mean, you guys have watched, you know, the last year or so, I guess. I know there's been, if you could explain to people, a lot of changes, though, starting at the top, right, with U.S. soccer. So what is the feeling from U.S. soccer fans about just – you know, the status of this roster, of this team heading into June in the World Cup?
So there's a real yin and yang in my head about the United States team, because they have been touting, anyone that is associated with USA Soccer has been saying, this is the golden generation. They've been saying it basically since they failed to qualify for Russia. They've been saying, don't worry, we've washed out the Clint Dempsey group, and now we have the golden generation. And it seems like at every turn, they fall short of being the golden generation. They just do a lot of the same things. It's just names that are now playing in Europe doing the same things. So on the one hand, I think they are a talented roster. Not the most talented in the world, but they are a talented roster with a good, experienced coach who came from Europe. He's coached at the highest levels. They have the ingredients. But man, the run-up has not been filled with excitement. They've stubbed their toe and they've looked bad in some of these friendly matches to the point where you go, what are we doing? And there was at one point a bunch of rumors and, you know, hearsay that there was more infighting with the team and the coaching staff and the people that put the team together, the general manager. It just feels like there's always a lot of noise around a team that should be doing more and constantly falls short.
Instead of telling you what I expect, let me tell you what I hope doesn't happen.
Okay, there we go.
And I'm the oldest guy in this room by far. And so I was an adult for both of these World Cups. I remember in 1994 when the World Cup was played here in the United States, and the U.S. did better than they were expected to. I think it was like their second time in the World Cup or third time. And there was an incredible amount of excitement. MLS started 2 years following that, and a lot of the players from the USA team were put in. They became overnight superstars. The World Cup was a huge hit in 1994. Lexi Lawless, I mean, I could go down the list. And then 1998, they make the tournament again. And everybody's super excited. We basically have the same team that went farther than they were supposed to go in 94. And they tanked. And they got blown out in the first round. And everybody was like, that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen to the United States this year. If it happens in this group, they need to reshuffle the deck. There's a problem.
They keep reshuffling. I always say, like, there's always 10 people on the text line say, they're not going to go that far. The United States is bad at soccer, bad at men's soccer. I think we need to make that a massive qualifier here. We're not bad at soccer as a country in general. We're bad at men's soccer.
We're awesome at women's soccer. I'm not going to say we're bad at men's soccer. We're not on this.
We're not elite.
We're not in the England, Germany,
Brazil,
Argentina conversation.
We're B-class.
We're definitely B-class. And what's frustrating as a United States fan is, you know, as someone who, like, probably is too close to it, I read too much about it, is it feels like the reason they're a B-class is the people that run U.S. soccer are totally content being B-class. They, once every 4 years, get the country riled up and excited, and if they make a run, you know, you guys, the Danas, the Sams, they get excited. Hey, can you believe the United States playing Netherlands in the round of 16? This is so exciting. It's on Fox. I'm so excited to watch. And then they lose, and it's like, oh, that was cool, though. They did better than we thought. And then there's no buzz, no energy, no nothing for 4 years. And it seems like the people who run U.S. soccer have been totally content with that system because they don't ever reshuffle the deck. They just rearrange deck chairs. I remember when they failed to make the Russian World Cup, it was, oh, why? We're cleaning out the federation. The president's gone, new GM, new voice. Well, the people who hired him were all the same. And it's the same people doing the same stuff. And it's just a constant churn and a constant feeling of you're stuck in the same world. And it's very frustrating when you watch other countries fall short and they do actually say this is unacceptable and burn it out. Like, England was bad a couple years ago and they ran everyone out, including a coach who made it to the European Championship, which is a big deal. Like, that's the European powers. Hey, they fell short. Everyone's got to go.
Just two observations about what happened today. I am just amazed that Italy is a play-in team. How far the mighty fall. Also, I've reevaluated my groups. Group L is without doubt the group of death.
And Group L, again, that's England, Croatia, Ghana, and Panama. That is Group L.
Even in that order, but yes.
Sure. Yeah. That is Group L. So we got Scott Parks and Rob Britton in studio. Rob, I know you got to run. Real quick, I'll ask you, if you're in Kansas City, and whether you're a diehard soccer fan or the most casual soccer fan, and you just want to be part of this, you want to be part of this summer and the excitement in the city and what it means to be on this stage, we don't know the exact draw yet of Kansas City, but what's the athlete, who's the country that if you can find a way financially to pull it off, what's the country you say you got to go once in a lifetime?
Well, I would say first off, because Kansas City has been gifted this major event, you kind of get a break. You don't have to fly to a Los Angeles, a Miami, an Atlanta to go see one of these teams. If you can, do. I'm not discouraging anyone, but I just pulled this up. Jared Kohler tweeted this out.
Okay.
The list of teams that could come to the United States before we get to a quarterfinal, because you don't know, includes Germany, Argentina, the Netherlands, Poland has Robert Lewandowski. He's a top flight striker. Like, Portugal could come in the round of 32. Like, those are five of the top 15 or 20 countries in the world. Now, we don't know. We won't know until tomorrow. Okay. But those are teams that if they come here, you need to make a point to go see them. Even if Germany is playing a Tunisia or a whoever, if they're playing in your backyard and you have a chance to go see Germany play, go do it. If Lionel Messi is in town, and you may have seen him when they played Sporting, if he's in town playing a World Cup match, go see him. If, you know, I know the Netherlands doesn't have a lot of the household names like a Messi, or if the Netherlands is in town, A, go to the Netherlands watch party, because they, if you're bored at home, Google Netherlands march to the stadium. They have an absolute parade of orange leading in the stadium. It's a great party from what I see, but they are really a fun team to see. So if Kansas City gets gifted one of those top clubs, I know it's not going to be cheap. I'm not acting like, you know,
we were looking today.
Everyone's not going to be able to afford
This isn't a get in for a Royals game on Tuesday. Sure. I get it. But I would try to pay the premium to go see one of those teams.
We saw on this, one of the secondary market sites before the draw even started. You know, you could get like the category three is what they call it.
It could plummet too. If it's like Algeria, Jordan.
For sure. I think category three is upper level is what how FIFA is organizing
Kansas,
it.
Kansas City Stadium.
That's right. Yeah, it's not Arrowhead. It's Kansas City Stadium. Yeah, they don't call it Arrowhead.
Definitely not GEHA. They won't allow that at all. All that signage is coming down the minute the season's over for the Chiefs.
True. And those were $380. They're now up to $580 on the secondary market. Huh. So people maybe are speculating that Argentina or somebody. So something like that.
Here it is.
Thank you guys for coming in studio. I believe Steven Spector is going to stop. I want to ask him about what countries could be based in Kansas City. There's a lot of speculation. Could that be a place, a country like Germany? We know Rock Chalk Park is hosting. We know the Casey Current facility. We know Sporting Kansas City out of Compass Mineral facility. So we'll get into that coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Club Friday continues here, presented by Jay Rieger & Co. One more time, Cody, what's the cocktail of the day? Of course, thanks to Rieger for supporting us throughout the Fan Club Fridays here on 96.5 The Fan.
Spiced whiskey cider is the drink today. So we had hot cider, hot black tea, lemon juice, honey syrup, and then Rieger KC whiskey.
Just a couple things before we get back into the World Cup draw. Number one, we know KU and MU are playing on Sunday at T-Mobile Center. Bill Self, just a couple minutes ago, said that barring a setback, he should be good to go. He being Darren Peterson, which would be a huge boost for the Jayhawks. And obviously, everybody's been waiting weeks and weeks and weeks for this. So that adds some more intrigue to KU and MU at T-Mobile on Sunday, barring a setback. As far as the Chiefs go, Andy Reid just spoke a little while ago, ruled out Christian Roland Wallace, said it would be a stretch for Trey Smith and Taylor to play. Remember, neither practice all week. So it's looking like Jalen Moore on the right side, Wani on the left side.
I still do have no idea why you're starting Wani Morris at left tackle.
Three backup offensive linemen on Sunday against the Houston Texans. That's where we are at with the injury front for the Chiefs on Sunday night. Of course, pregame coverage begins 3 hours before kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, back to the World Cup draw. We've got Steven Spector now in studio. We just had Rob and Scott Parkson. You three are probably the biggest soccer fans, at least on this side of the building. Maybe there's one or two other people on the other side. But your reaction to the U.S. as well. We asked them that everybody agrees that this is nice touch from FIFA towards the United States.
You absolutely could not have asked for a better group. I know we'll have to wait for, you know, the UEFA playoff C or whatever it is. And that could be Turkey, and they're certainly a good squad. But if you were asking for a draw to the knockout stage for the United States, you could not have asked for more. And that is the downside of going from 32 to 48 teams. You just, there are bad teams playing in this tournament this year to expand the field. So, but from a U.S. perspective, that was about as good a half hour as a draw you could ask for.
Can I ask? I get so confused because it seems like everyone, no one is just pro all expansion or anti all expansion. Everyone's just like, I like expansion sometimes and I don't like it other times. Like in the NFL, they put in two more teams. They all stink. They've never won a single game from the seventh seed. They're all awful. But we're like, nah, I want more NFL playoff games. But in soccer,
I'm pro contraction.
Okay, so I was just curious because I feel like everyone I know is like, I don't want more NCAA tournament teams. I want more NFL teams. I want more baseball teams. I don't want more World Cup teams. I'm like, well, which one is it?
I would contract each sport's different. I would contract four teams for Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL. Make the league much better. Keep the NCAA tournament the way it is, and they should have kept the World Cup at 32.
Okay, so
less teams. More good players on less teams.
But you're still like, you're not for expansion in any, but you're still changing the numbers for some, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm definitely not for expansion, but I would like to see more good players on less baseball teams, if that makes sense. Sure. Nobody cares about the Miami Marlins.
Yeah.
Take all their good players, disperse them among other teams. Same with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you get a better, more balanced baseball product. Same with the NBA. There's just not that many good NBA players. Get rid of the Charlotte Hornets, the Portland Trailblazers. You'd have a much better league.
I don't disagree. That's never going to happen. But
It's never going to happen. I'm just playing, you know, faulty commissioner.
The possible teams that can come to the United States or to Kansas City, I'm sorry. We were going through this, and I think everybody's keeping an eye on Argentina. Do you actually think we're going to get an Argentina match at Arrowhead?
I mean, I think there's a chance, right? EF and J.
Three out of the four teams in Argentina's division.
I mean,
so
we get group. You know, possibly Germany, possibly the Netherlands, possibly Argentina. Give me any three of those. Those are great teams and great fan bases. So sign me up for any three of those.
Are you signed up? Like, are you under? Because Alex and I were talking about this. There's obviously matches I'd prefer to go to, but I just want to go to a World Cup match in Kansas City. So if that's Austria versus the Ivory Coast, I'm still in.
Yes, like, absolutely.
You know, like, I, you know, like the countries are important in the, like, my level of hype for the match, but I just want to watch a World Cup match in Kansas City regardless.
My goal is to go to a game regardless of who's playing. Now, if it's a great game and you have to pay a little bit more, it is what it is. The goal is just to go to one game and say, I've been to a World Cup game.
What do we think the get-in price would be? Because this is something that can't happen bracket-wise. Messi, Ronaldo, quarterfinal match at Arrowhead. What's the get in?
I think it probably starts at $2,000.
It's definitely four figures. None of us are going to.
You're not getting it for $500.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
$1,500 maybe for the uppers. Again, you got to remember, like, you're not competing. I said this morning. Yeah. Like, you're not competing with someone from Leawood for Chiefs tickets.
Right.
You're competing with two countries.
Two entire countries. And Chris from Leawood, who also wants to go to the game.
Exactly.
That person still wants to go.
And it's not just people traveling internationally. There could be someone that is, their nationality is, like, they live in the United States, but they're
flying from Houston, and they're huge, you know, from Argentina originally.
Exactly. So it literally is the world.
You're competing against the world. Yeah, I think it's $1,500, $2,000 would probably be the minimum buy-in for Argentina.
It's kind of like buying, like, when the Royals went to the World Series, and, like, the get-in price was like $1,000 a ticket for Royals Game 1 World Series 2014. It was like the get-in price was like $1,000 or something for lowers. It almost just feels like one of those, like, when's the next time? When will I ever see Messi and Ronaldo in a World Cup match? Ever?
The answer is never. And you will never see that again, ever.
And I won't have to pay hotel or like I don't have any travel expenses.
That's what I want to ask about.
Infinitely more cheaper for me to go to that match than almost any other person on the planet.
True. You both own a home in the Kansas City area. Have you talked to your spouses about potentially Airbnb-ing, making some money? There's your $4,000 for your tickets to go see Messi.
I have looked into it. It's not going to happen because our HOA doesn't allow it.
Gotcha.
My neighborhood does allow it.
You can go stay with Spec.
Yeah.
And
I'll give me 20%. You can stay with me.
Look, I'm not going to lie. It is tempting. And I told him the first week of the World Cup in Kansas City is when my daughter's dance competition is this year. So I'll actually be out of town anyway.
There you go.
I don't even have to have
If you're not there, then what are you?
I don't even have anywhere. I have to stay in my own house. I'll just be gone for a week anyway.
You've got two kids. You entertain my small kids. You just give me 20% of the buy and you're welcome to come stay with me.
Honestly,
you don't really have to uproot your life. We're both in the Northland.
Yeah. 20%. Similar drive time, distance.
Yeah.
Not way further to get them to school. And actually, it's summer. They wouldn't even have to have regular school anyway, so it's even easier.
Deals on the table. Offers on the table, I should say.
To be clear, I am interested. I think my wife will need some convincing. But my house is at, it's not a huge house, but it's a couple thousand square feet, and it's got three bedrooms. Someone will want it.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you are coming in from Germany or whoever's going to end up living here for 5 weeks, that's enough space.
How many, I always wonder with this, if you put sleeps blank, what would my answer to my house be?
I don't know.
A lot of decks, so you got to factor that in. If someone brought a tent,
sleep on the screen porch?
Yeah, if someone brought a tent, technically.
It's June. They could sleep on a screen porch.
Oh, God, that would be the worst sleep
ever. There's a basement?
Can you imagine sleeping outside in Kansas City in a screened in porch in June?
The humidity.
That'd be so bad. Oh, God, it'd be so awful.
Ooh, it'd be hot. It'd be hot.
No,
it'd be better than sleeping not in the screen part of the porch.
Fair enough, yeah.
I don't know.
What do you make of
the bugs?
What do you make of just how the city currently looks like they're planning for this spec this summer? We saw. The base camp sites, Rock Chalk Park out in Lawrence is going to host one country. We know the Currents facility and then Sporting with the Compass Mineral. Do you think there's an early favorite? We've all speculated, a Germany or somebody like that. But
yeah, I mean, I think Germany makes a lot of sense because of the Chiefs relationship, right? Obviously. Rob told me this at some point. The president of Brazil's Soccer Federation went to KU. So maybe that makes some sense.
All right.
But I think a lot of teams are going to look at Kansas City and be like, we're in the middle of the country. It's easier flight times and going from the East Coast to the West Coast to Houston, wherever. So I think Kansas City makes a lot of sense for one or two. I don't think they're going to end up getting three teams.
Okay.
Maybe a smaller third country. I mean, that's entirely possible.
Expanded fields.
So. Yeah. But I'm really excited. I mean, I hope the city's ready for it because they said in the broadcast in the first brutal 90 minutes, this is 108 Super Bowls combined, which is crazy. You guys have been to a lot of Super Bowls the last couple years.
You cannot drive to the games.
Yeah, this is going to be crazy. So I just hope we're ready for it.
They announced the transportation plan. It certainly seems like, at least on paper, they're going to have constant every 15-minute buses from downtown to the airport, from Lenexa City Center to the stadium, from Independence Center to the stadium. And our city doesn't have great public transportation. We all know this. So this is something we've never had in the city before.
Yeah, and if you're a Chiefs fan and you're like, all right, I know I have to show up to Arrowhead three hours before kickoff. I'm in my parking spot. I have to go in at 11:10 before a 12 o'clock kickoff. That's not how this is about to work. This is not Arrowhead Stadium. This is a FIFA soccer stadium from June until July.
I would drive to Lenexa City Center and I would be hopping on a bus that takes me to Arrowhead.
Yeah, or an Uber maybe. Yeah, I mean,
the bus might be the best path. I know normally in this city,
in this case, they're going to have them ready to roll.
Yeah.
We do, by the way, we can do the math on it. Todd Palmer put this out, which is good. These are the possible matchups we will get depending on the date, because we know some of the dates these teams are going to play. So on June 16th, the first match in Kansas City, we will get Argentina versus Algeria or Austria versus Jordan. Obviously,
we're
going to
get Austria. We're going to get Austria
versus Jordan. On June 20th, we'll get either Germany versus the Ivory Coast or Ecuador versus Curacao.
Ecuador is very good. Obviously,
Germany's very good as well.
You're getting one good team regardless.
June 25th, you're getting Tunisia versus the Netherlands or Japan versus the UEFA B playoff winner. So we would list off those countries, most likely Turkey at this point, but it could depend. And then on June 27th, we'll get either Jordan versus Argentina or Austria versus Algeria.
There are good teams coming here. Now, whether or not we get Argentina and Germany, that obviously remains to be seen. But there are good soccer teams coming to Kansas City. You will see at least one good team on the field.
Yeah, you'll see either Argentina, Germany, Ecuador. I mean, you're going to get at least
Austria
one.
Austria is a good team, too. Like, you know, a lot of these European countries have very good players who are playing at high level.
We're all playing Champions League and you just don't even realize it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. You're going to see a good soccer product at Kansas City Stadium in June.
We have to at least give a score prediction here on the show for the Chiefs game. I know we've gotten bogged down with soccer here for a portion of the show.
This is a record, by the way. I can now officially say a record on this.
A Cody Gold record of amount of soccer talk in one show.
It is an official record here.
To be fair, it's a big day, though.
Yeah.
Today's a big day. When Kansas City got announced as a World Cup, you guys did it for like 4 straight hours. Right?
I don't know if it was 4 straight.
All right, fine. Game predictions brought to you by Bet365. The gateway to big wins is now in Missouri with Bet365. I'm not kidding. Gold and I were sitting outside, and we both had, before the show, to give for social media our score predictions. We had the identical score prediction, so I switched mine because I didn't feel like we should have the same.
You guys have been working together too long.
So I'll let him give his score prediction in just a minute. Okay. I decided I'll just make it even uglier than what my actual score prediction was, and just it'll just be field goals, and no one will ever get in the end zone, and this game will finish 9-6 Chiefs. And we'll all be miserable watching it, and no one will enjoy their Sunday night, and it'll end 9-6 on a Harrison Butker 54-yard field goal.
Did the Royals and Astros combine for more runs at any point during a game against each other this year than 9-6?
Probably.
That would be really awful.
Yeah, I mean, I went 21-20. That was the answer that I gave.
Right on the number.
And yeah, look, I think, as I've said all week, on an individual game basis, like, I get why the Chiefs are favorites. I get why they'll be a favorite against the Chargers in a week as well, on an individual basis. The issue, and why I've said they're not going to make the playoffs, is I don't think they string five of them together. But that doesn't mean I don't think they can win on Sunday. The Texans' defense, we all know the issue there. Offensively, the Texans do not scare me. I do not think their offense is any good. That's why the Chiefs, to me, can win. But I do think the Texans are going to make life miserable for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, down three offensive linemen. So, yeah, 21-20. I think, you know, if you want to guarantee a win, if you told me the Chiefs got to 27, I think it's a no-brainer they win the game. But I'll go 21-20. It's a frustrating watch throughout the entire game. Nobody's feeling good. And somebody late, you know, during the game, makes a huge sack for the first time of, you know, for Kansas City and wins.
I said 17-14. So yeah, even lower, right in the middle of kind of both your guys' score predictions. So yeah, I mean, I don't see a pathway to 27 points for the Chiefs offense. I also don't think the Texans offense is good either. So this is the worst offensive line that the Chiefs have gone up against in quite a while. So I think Chris Jones can have a night. I think Karlaftis can have a night. I don't really believe in CJ Stroud on the road. So, yeah, I'll stick with 17-14.
Road, cold weather. Drew, what was your score prediction?
23-20. And unfortunately, the team down to Houston.
Texans
is going to win.
Is it really unfortunately for you? Is it really unfortunately?
Drew,
well, to me,
it's just deja vu. It's just deja vu with the Bengals all over again. They're 4-8. We did the same thing last year.
Still technically
we did
alive.
The same thing in 2023. It's like,
they should try not being technically alive at like 4-6.
I don't know what's going to happen for the Chiefs, but can the Bills just put Drew
please
out of his misery. Just end it.
Oh, I'm going to be the happiest person on the planet.
Buffalo, please beat Cincy. Stop the game here for another month.
Will you guys also say that Joe Burrow's better than Josh Allen if he wins again and beats Josh Allen once again on Sunday?
No. To my recollection, Josh Allen's the reigning MVP and has actually played football like the last 2 years. So how is Joe Burrow better?
Drew, here, look, I'll make you a deal. I will, after Sunday's game, if Joe Burrow beats him, I will agree with you that Joe Burrow is better than Josh Allen. Only if you will agree that Josh Allen is better than Joe Burrow if he wins. Because then it'll be 2-1 and you can't lord it over him that he's beaten him every time he's played him. They'll play 3 games. One person will have to have won a majority of the games.
If Josh Allen outplays Joe Burrow in the
end outplays. Right. Ah, see,
This
Cincinnati thing
happens.
It's all like, again, the stuff that doesn't matter. Like, well, Joe Burrow had 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, but the Bills won by 10. Well, then Joe Burrow's better than Josh Allen. I don't give a damn what the stat line is on Sunday. No. They lost. They'd be a 4-9 team and missing the playoffs for 3 years.
That's because they have the worst defense
in NFL history. You constructed the team.
He said, sign. He said, keep Jamar, keep my buddy T. I don't give a damn about my buddy Trey Hendrickson or anybody else who, by the way, can't play this year either.
They made the decision to have the worst defense in the NFL.
In fairness.
No, they didn't. They addressed it in the last 3 years in the draft, and it has failed. Every single pick.
Not it has failed. They have failed.
Duke Tobin.
We openly discussed this, though.
I think he's the general manager of the Cincinnati Bengals.
He has failed pretty poorly.
Andrew, we have made, he did not ever say pay Trey until he said pay T Higgins and Jamar Chase first. And we made that's Burrow, I'm saying. We had a whole offseason conversation about this. Gold, what was our stance at the time? Seems like a bad team building strategy to only pay wide receivers when the whole adage in the NFL is when you get paid, you got to win with inferior talent sometimes. You're the star, win without some dudes.
How did we get onto a Bengals topic?
I don't know.
I didn't even start
about the Chiefs.
I predicted the Chiefs game and left it alone.
In fairness, Drew didn't start. He said, unfortunately, I have Houston. I go,
yeah, I don't know.
Is it really unfortunately? And then Speck goes, Cincinnati, and it turned into
this. That's true. I'll wear that one. That's probably my fault.
It is unfortunate for Chiefs fans because they would be out of the playoffs. That's why it's unfortunate.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's why I said, unfortunately, the team. I'm trying to appease the people in the place that I work in.
This season will go down as a very frustrating one if the Chiefs end up missing the playoffs, obviously. Even if they end up losing the playoffs.
Sure.
I'll tell you right now, I'll sleep fine knowing that the previous 7 years, they went to 5 Super Bowls, won 3
I'll
of
do
them.
You one better. I'll sleep better knowing that I'm not a Bengals fan.
I'll sleep fine.
What argument is there to be happy about being a Bengals fan? Just like it's Charlie existence. Brown with the football. You're about to get it, and then everybody gets hurt. And your roster construction stinks.
In all of the majors, what are the worst? What are the worst teams to be a fan of in all the major sports?
It's absolutely the New York Jets.
So for football, for the NFL, it's the Jets.
Sports.
Okay.
It is the Jets.
Because who's the worst team to be a fan of for the Major League Baseball? It's not the Marlins. They occasionally accidentally win World Series.
I actually think it's the Pirates. Because they end up drafting good players, and then they just have to give them all away.
Pirates is a pretty good answer.
It's them or the Rockies, and I think the Pirates get the edge there.
I think, weirdly enough, in college sports, you can make a pretty strong argument for Missouri. Because it's not just to be bad. It's to be like close to being good occasionally and then also fail.
And losing in heartbreaking fashion. They don't just like lose a game. They
lose
in heartbreaking
fashion. And have no like titles for like.
It's my Washington Wizards in the NBA.
Oh, gosh.
I can't even imagine caring about being a Washington Wizards fan.
It's very hard.
Are there people? Do people care about?
I don't even really consider myself one of them.
Are they part of the contraction teams too?
They should be. They absolutely should be. They should absolutely contract the Washington Wizards. Yes, I would. They are that bad.
Useless franchise.
Useless franchise.
Hey, in fairness, Beck, Keyshawn George was part of that parlay that got me $1,200.
Yeah, Beck. He hits this part. We find out just by happenstance, live on the air. Oh, by the way, guys, I won $1,200 on a parlay.
You want to know when he told me?
When?
Right after the car accident.
True. Oh, you guys were driving around?
Speck.
Yeah.
He didn't say two words to us about it.
Yeah, I just hit a $1,200 parlay, so that should help towards the next new car.
Yeah, Speck, we just, this
crickets.
Happens all, I don't, you listen, obviously,
I forget
this
often.
Happens once every month or two. It'll be something pretty significant. Like, oh, by the way, we're like, where was this? I mean, you hit a $4 parlay into a $1,200 parlay. That's amazing.
That is amazing. I've never done anything close to that.
No.
And it was all player props in the NBA.
My Cowboys $1,000 bet just went down the drain last night, so I don't have anything in the hopper that's even close.
Oh, you had the Cowboys to make the playoffs or win the division?
I had the Cowboys to win the NFC at 30-1.
Oh, wow.
Because if they won last night, I think there was a chance to the playoffs for sure. But
and then they just get hot.
And then you just get hot and you can hedge along the way. But yeah, that died last night.
Yeah. I the worst part about, you know, when you're betting is when, like, all day yesterday I was telling Cody, I told you, I was like, oh, I think the Lions, like, they're gonna bounce back, and then but everybody was talking about it's a terrible matchup and the Cowboys this and that. And I knew better.
You did say it in my office.
I knew better than the bet on the freaking Cowboys yesterday.
You bet on the Cowboys instead?
You
went the other way? You should have just no bet.
I overthought the whole situation.
The worst part is I bet on George Pickens, who last night just
gave up.
Like, completely gave up.
He quit.
A complete head case. He easily could have had 110 yards and a touchdown. He just was like, nah, I'm okay.
I got to say, I can't figure out how much he's going to make in the offseason.
Is
he going to get franchise
tagged? He's going to get tagged. Yeah, he's going to get tagged.
I wouldn't pay him.
Just tag him. Don't pay him.
With another... Yeah, you cannot pay George Pickens.
You can pay him for one more year.
Well, you tag him, keep him on your team for a year and see how he acts. I don't trust him.
A bad team like the Arizona Cardinals pays him. Like, you just, you cannot trust George Pickens. He is one of the 5 most talented wide receivers in the NFL. You cannot pay him.
Speck, thanks for coming in studio.
Thank
World
you guys.
Cup draw day. Again, we got 187 days or something like that away.
185 or something like that.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
Same thing.
Sure. Same thing. We'll obviously keep an eye on tomorrow when we learn for sure which countries will be playing in Kansas City. Hope you guys have a great week. And the drive with C-Dot and Rob up next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.